now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out and welcome to Pride Season.
I'm Mitch and he's Andy and today, you've guessed it, we're talking Bristol Pride.
Darren's here to give us all the info you need on this year's Pride, so keep it right here for the next hour. Hello everyone.
Oh Andy, you didn't do your bum bum bum.
No, Lara's apparently stolen that from me. I'm not allowed to do it anymore.
Oh Lara.
But Lara's away.
Yeah.
So anyone cold?
It's nice in here. I'm it is lovely. That aircon unit.
We've even secretly got Darren in here right now because it's a bit warm out there, isn't it?
So. It is. I'm enjoying it. Yeah.
So we will talk to you in a little bit, but you're technically on holiday now. Does it feel like holiday? Have you managed to enjoy the sunshine at all?
No, I've just been sat on my sofa all day, like melting in the sun, just on my laptop.
It is really hot, isn't it? It's 31, 32. Did they just say?
Yeah. It's amazing. Like, wow. It's really, really hotter than California.
Is it?
Oh, wow. Apparently.
Yeah. it's that kind of time when you go, this never happens in the UK, like once in a blue moon. So I thought there'd be some poor people who have booked a holiday somewhere really, really hot, and it's not hot, it's raining, and they're missing all the sunshine here, and it's horrible when that happens, isn't it?
That would be typical, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, hopefully it'll stay like this for the next, what was it, we're 2 weeks away, aren't we?
Yeah,
fingers. Well, yeah, there's more going on before.
Perhaps a little bit more cloud and shade would be lovely.
Yeah, so. We don't want you to have that pink neck thing that you always have. Always have it at Bristol Pride, don't you, Darren?
And I do remember
running around after Darren with sun cream.
I do remember one year in Castle Park as well. It was so hot, we were throwing water out the front.
That's right, yeah. So
bottles of water, yeah.
Sun is good, but a little bit of cloud cover would be nice.
Can we get a hose this year? And
yeah. Oh, yeah. Super soakers.
Yeah.
Get the fire brigade in.
Book 25 degrees, that's it. 25 to 28 degrees, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no, it is nice. It's nice, it's lovely. It'd be sod's lot. I'm not going to say.
No,
don't
say
anything.
Know what you were going to say. We really don't want to hear it.
It's because he's bought a hoodie. He wants to make sure he gets the use of it.
Yes. I don't think I'll be using my hoodie until maybe the after parties. Sorry, yes.
Sorry,
tumbleweed. Yeah.
Tumbleweed.
No, sorry. We should expect. We've got new T-shirts for this year's Pride. We have them all specially made up. I don't know if you've seen them. Have you looked?
Oh, very nice, very nice.
Wait for the radio.
I'm glad you all went through it, because that really would have been a tumbleweed moment, wouldn't it?
If you haven't seen that design, it's a lovely smoky rainbow.
Yeah, it's on the front of the website, the smoking microphone.
Microphone.
It's on. You'll see them on all the shout-out stuffs back this year at Pride, which would be cool. Anyway, we'll talk to Darren about Pride in a minute, but Tara, it's your turn first. One rule, you're not allowed to talk about Pride.
Anything else
not
going on?
Bristol Pride.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm going to exclude Bristol Pride.
Right, okay, cool. So our showers, our pick of the events for the next, well, it's monthly now, isn't it?
Monthly,
isn't it?
And it
is Pride season, so I think
Bristol
we can let you off.
Bristol is absolutely manic, isn't it? I mean, it's got Harbour Festival.
Well, was it, you said 70 pages? There is in this?
72,
there you go. That gives you an idea how big Bristol Pride is.
There's just so much on, so that, you know, we're going to have some Paul's Carnival for the Pride.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, absolutely.
When's that?
So that's the 7th of July.
Oh, right, okay, cool.
Yeah, so that was a bit of a warm-up. But what I wanted to push was a Bath Pride. Do you want us a little bit?
Because I didn't actually know Bath had a Pride.
It's a little bitty one. I went it last year, and it's just like they need,
They need support.
And it's actually, you know, they need to grow and part of that process. So I want to push them a little bit. So they've got a few things on. So on the 5th, they've got a little bit queer. Everybody's talking about Jamie Live. And then the Bath Pride, you've got to book in advance to do the walk. health and safety, apparently.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay. So it's on the 21st of July. So it's a week. It's a weekend after Bristol. So that's all right. 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's at Bath Cricket Club. And if you go on the website, you've got to sign up to do the walk. And it was really fun last year. I did it last year because I was a part of the Mind team doing trans awareness event thing down there. So that was really good. So, and a lot of, very queer actually, and there's really lots of young people as well at the Bath one.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah, they've so it's got really a youth good. Group down there as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, so OTR was there and all the rest of it. So their website, I've shout it out, is bathpride.co.uk. And if you go on there and log in and get that sorted out. And then the other one is Transplide, which is not so local, but if you're trans, you're going to be heading towards...
No, I thought there was a trans pride.
There is one in Bristol, but the main UK one, if you like, the big event...
that was down in Brighton, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's...
And isn't there one up north called Sparkle or something like that?
Yeah, and they also have Edinburgh Trans Pride now as well.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so the idea is the Trans Pride Brighton is the first one, and they're trying to encourage other cities to do the same thing.
Oh.
So Bristol was the second, and Edinburgh's the third. So, you know, so... I think it's worth mentioning. So it starts on the 13th of July and ends on the 21st of July. So, and they've got a website which is transpridebrighton.org, and they've got a list of events that run throughout the week before up until that, and they've got a little bit of a march as well. Yeah?
Yeah, cool. Well, it makes you wonder how many prides there are.
There's a pride website, isn't there?
Is it 125, give or take?
Yeah, you've got to remember Cardiff.
So you couldn't physically do every single pride in a year now.
No.
But there was a time when you could, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in the 90s.
Yeah. Do you remember
when there was only 20,
yes.
20 of us walking down Baldwin Street? I remember that one.
Yeah. So anyway, the Trans Pride's got art exhibition, it's got poetry night, look at you, look at me, the March art drop-in. There's loads of things on the Pride Brighton. The thing is, trying to get to a combination in there that this time of year is going to be a bit of a nightmare, but tense, I see. So that was that. What else was there? I think the only thing was the Bristol Harbour Festival. It's just so much fun. It's just crazy what's going on.
The Harbour Festival is huge.
Yeah, and there's
like the Amphitheatre and Millennium Square and Queen's Square and somewhere else.
That's where Bristol Pride's going to be, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, not all of those.
No,
is it?
But you know, yes. That's where it's going to be.
You never know.
Exactly.
Yeah, the way it keeps growing, it's going to be half of Bristol.
Yeah, and the only other one is Upfest, which I'm going to be going to. My daughter's not able to; she's in holiday. So it's the graffiti artists. I know it's not LGBT, but I think there's quite a few LGBT and queer artists that do that. To be honest,
that's one of the things I love about Bristol. It's so diverse. And there's so many different things.
Well,
there's
something every weekend. Yeah. This
especially
month.
This time of year. So I don't think we had Grillstock this year. I think that got cancelled.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's a big barbecue fest.
Oh, well,
fest.
I wouldn't know. Yeah. Being a vegan.
Yeah,
You've got a vegan fest.
We
did have vegan fest down at the Ashton Court Stadium.
Oh, yeah, did you go?
Yeah, it was really good, actually.
Yeah.
Really a lot more chocolate.
Chocolate.
A lot more chocolate than it has
that
been.
Was not what I was expecting you to say. I have to admit.
Is that a staple diet? Is it?
Yeah, it's a vegan diet. Yeah, raw chocolate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, and that was it, really. That was my list of things to do. So, you know. Okay.
Cool. Thank you very much, Dara.
Okay, cheers.
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
And that is Pink. And What About Us? It's one of my favourite Pink songs, that one.
Great, isn't it?
It's a really nice song, yeah. Darren, do you want to explain why I might possibly be playing that?
Well, that's because we have Zoe Alexander performing on the main stage on Pride Day, who is one of the UK's most well-known and famous Pink tribute. So we're very excited to have her. We had her for a fundraiser a couple of years ago, the big Christmas fundraiser, and she came down and did an amazing show. She was so lovely. I said to her then, we'll have you back for Pride one year.
And
this is the year. So,
2018, this is the year, Zoe.
I didn't realise you did that. So it's like last year we had Jadelle, for example. Had you heard Jadelle before?
No.
We were just talking about it off air. She was amazing.
Yeah, she was amazing. And I watched the BBC documentary that she was on, where they brought all a load of Adele tributes together.
Oh, yes. And that was funny.
And I saw her perform on that, and I thought, oh, she's incredible. And she's quite local. She's just across the water over near Cardiff. Yeah. So, I thought, you know, let's go. And she was amazing as well. So, you know, we can't afford to book the Pinks and the Adele.
No, but, one day, maybe. Yeah. You never know.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, one day they might need to just come to Pride and just beg you to come.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe, yeah.
Now, normally when we got you in this close, because we're a couple of weeks away, and we should explain it as well, we're always really lucky. Darren lets us broadcast the whole of Pride live, and we go out both on BCFM, and we're going out on Pirate Nation Radio this year, and we quite often have several of the other stations that take our show dip in and out, and this year we've got some stuff going out on the BBC as well, the March kicking off. There's stuff going on in the morning shows on the BBC, and we normally end up talking to you at this point about main stage, the main act. I think everyone kind of knows them because they're so well advertised. Yeah. We've got the likes of Alexandra Burke, which I can't wait for.
Yeah.
My personal favourite, Snap.
Yes, yeah, Snap.
Okay. Really amazing. Looking forward to that.
Snap. And my personal favourite, Republica.
Yes, finishing it all off. But we want to talk about some of the other ones as well, don't we? Some of the other days.
Yeah.
Dog show.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Bigger than ever.
Oh my God, the dog show is like one of our most popular events.
I love it.
It's so
funny. I've just had the Metro like emailing me earlier going, oh, we're going to put it in the paper next week, the dog show's on. I was like, okay, you know, we are doing loads of other stuff too, but everyone loves the dog show.
Yeah.
So that's on Saturday the 7th, so it's the same day as Carnival.
All right.
And we will also be at Carnival, so we'll have a stall over in Carnival celebrating the intersectionality of our community, which is really important to us this year and every year, but we're really putting a focus on it. So Saturday the 7th in Castle Park, and we're asking people to come about 12 midday, so for registration the show will start at 12:30, and we're hoping for more rainbow pooches than ever.
Excellent.
Pause up for Pride.
Yeah. And hopefully somebody will cover that from Shout Out as well.
Yeah. Am I remembering correctly? Well, last year, Ivan and you got mauled by dogs, didn't you? It was hilarious.
Well, the Irish Wolfhound.
Knocked us all over,
But it was one of them things that I think was your other half started it as a little thing on the Sunday, Make Sunday Special.
Oh, it was pouring with rain. We were out doing a little gazebo.
I remember bringing our little dog, bless her. She left us now, but she came that year and absolutely loved it.
It's really good fun, and all the dogs are so well behaved. And we're trying something new this year. We're going to try musical sit as one of the rounds. We're always trying to be innovative.
Is that for the dogs or the owners?
Well, both, I think. Yeah.
Musical sit. And then, of course, you've got a lot of stuff going on down at the Wardrobe Theatre as well, with the theatre night, and then the a bit of a improvisation murder she didn't write.
So Tuesday the 10th of July, we've got a double bill of theatre, and actually we've done something a bit special this year. So we're bringing Dragonflies Theatre down from London, and they've done a play called Pink Orchids, the HIV monologues, and it's, you know, we know from the radio, you've been talking about the issues that have been affecting our local HIV service providers with the funding cuts and challenges they've been facing. So we said, you know what, for this year for Pride, we need to bring them down. We need to talk about HIV. We need to raise the profile of our local services. And we're doing that through theatre. So I really hope everyone kind of gets a ticket and comes along to support it. Brixo are going to be there. THT are going to be there. And, you know, the play itself has won multiple awards. It's so, so good. And I really think that it's really important because, it looks at the dating world as it is now, you know, using apps like Tinder, disclosing, you know, being HIV positive and how people react around that. How do you disclose that? How do you deal with that? So I think it's going to be really important, and people should definitely come and see that. But we have the fun element, which was the drag murder she didn't write, which is taking place afterwards.
That's coming back.
The HIV monologues is at 7 p.m. So yeah, definitely
that's
come
great.
And see
that. And of course, as always, the Film Festival. Again.
Film Festival, yeah. So the Film Festival has been growing year on year, and it's so incredible,
now, isn't it?
You know, it's one of the things I like to ring our bell about is that The Guardian have hailed it as one of the best LGBT film festivals in the country.
Oh, amazing.
More than once.
Yes.
So that's really great. But yeah, we've got loads going on this year. Yeah. It actually opens tomorrow with Freak Show, which I saw at Flare, and I just had to bring it to Bristol. So it's got Alex Lawfer in it, so he's been in loads of stuff at the moment. But it's also got an all-star cast. So it's Laverne Cox is in it. John McEnroe's in it, and Bette Midler is in it as a drunken lush of a mum, and she just does. She plays it so well. But yeah, that's it. It's an
excellent,
incredible film about being young, being at high school, facing bullying, but actually not cowing to it and standing up for who you are. So I think that's a great message for us to be putting out during Pride, and it's a really, really, really great film.
And can people book tickets in advance?
Yeah, so all the tickets are available at the Watershed. Yeah, so people can come see that. And that one actually is on until the 5th of July, so it's on for a bit longer. The rest of our films are only on for one night. Next Wednesday, we've got our Best of British, and that is so exciting. So that's probably our biggest kind of selling event that we do for film, where we've been open to submissions for Best of British for Iris Prize.
Oh, and this is the short.
The short film competition.
We had Steve and Cole
talking
about.
Yeah, so Stevie was talking about that. So the team have been busy there watching all the films. We've done a short list. We're going to show those on Wednesday the 4th of July at 6:30 at the Watershed, and we're inviting the public to come along, watch them, and vote on the night as
well. You get to vote too.
Yeah, and we'll be announcing the winner on the evening. We've got a lovely award to give them. And
we'll all be sat there watching them.
Yeah, and then they go on to be in the final for Iris Prize, so we automatically go through to the final, and they could win £20,000 worth of post production work if they win. So that's
now
really
the other thing that I think just started off, if I recall, way back in the kind of like the first years of this incarnation of Pride, and it's grown year on year, and I've seen change of venue again this year. The comedy night, always a massive hit, always sells out, and it's always on a Thursday.
Sorry. But that's been, you know, again, a really, really popular event, and it is incredible. And for me, actually, it's kind of one of those weird nights where, you know, we're kind of 2 days away from the main festival starting. We're a bag of nerves.
Yeah.
But actually, it's such an amazing event because it's so busy, it's so much fun, the comedians are so good, and that we can just sit there and have a laugh for, you know, a couple of hours before we go home and bite our nails.
Excellent.
So we've got Jade Adams back as our host. And Jade now, you know, she's been performing with us for many years, but now you'll see her on 8 out of 10 Cats on Channel 4. She'll be doing all the shows on BBC 2. And, you know, she does a big, big comedy night.
She still loves coming back to do the Bristol.
In Bristol, yeah. But she comes back every year to us in Bristol Pride as our host, and she's so good. But yeah, we've actually added a little bit extra to the lineup this year. So you'll see that we've got five comedians performing, including Jade. We've got Joshua Jones coming down from Manchester. He's pretty new. I've watched some of his shows, and he's just so funny. So really looking forward to that. Sophie Ducker, really great to have her down. So she's been doing lots of comedy, stand-up comedy, but actually she's a writer as well. So she's written for the News Quiz, the Now Show, for Radio 4. So you'll recognise some of her work as well. And then we've got Sarah Keyworth, who just she won the Funny Women Award in 2015. And then Elfie Lyons as well, who is just winning and being nominated for awards left, right and centre. So it's going to be a really packed evening.
Is she related to Zoe?
I'm racing through because I know how much there is to try and pack in, and we always make this interview longer than any other one we have. Never managed to get through it all. But of course, UK Black Pride and the Kiki this year as part of the lineup.
You know, and I think that's something that, you know, as I say, intersectionality and recognising the diversity of our own community and championing that is really important to us. So I'm so proud that we have been able to develop a partnership with UK Black Pride using our local Kiki Bristol group to spearhead that and to be able to say, do you know what? There is a big black LGBT population out there. We want them to feel welcomed within our LGBT community in Bristol and at Pride, but we also just want to make sure that they have a platform, that their voices are heard, and that, you know, that Pride can be an event that they can come to and recognise performers and themselves and meet friends and things like that. So it's been really, really important to us, and I'm so proud to have Lady Phil actually coming to Bristol. She'll be down at our event on Friday, which is going to be at City Hall at 6 p.m. and the idea of that is literally just come and mingle, come and meet other members of the black LGBT community and other people of colour, you know, network and meet people before the parade. And then actually on the parade itself, we're going to have a people of colour block led by Kiki within the parade. So I think that's really important for us, and I'm glad that's happening.
Brilliant.
This year.
Yeah. Now, the one I have got to ask you about, because it's the one we've had the most questions asked of us to ask you. Of course, in previous years, one of the things that's been really nice has been, if you've been a day or day and night supporter, Pride have very kindly let you bring in your own alcohol into the arena. And this year, that's changed,
that has
hasn't
changed,
it?
Yeah.
It's probably the thing we've been asked the most about, is why?
Why? Well, very, very simply, when we went and had a meeting with the police and licensing and council earlier in the year to talk about Pride this year, we were told that if we didn't change the policy, they would have put an objection into our license, which means we can't hold the event. So,
has it anything to do with the amount of litter that was left and all that?
No, not really about the amount of litter. I think there was definitely issues about people overindulging, outside.
Okay. So and it was hot and sunny.
Hot and sunny. And so people go out and they buy from different supermarkets and perhaps have too much to drink outside of the festival. But, you know, they've come to Pride, so they're kind of our problem. And then we've kind of, lots of litter, but lots of people also just coming in and out, in and out, in and out, which is causing us capacity issues, but also causing issues, you know, if we are at capacity, someone goes out, can't get back in, you know, they're outside of the festival, you know, we want to try and get everyone in as much as we can. So, you know, that causes a challenge. So we're hoping that clears up, you know, reduces the queuing, reduces some of the capacity issues.
So in short, for those of you that were asking, it was either have a drink or have a pride, basically.
Well, kind of, yeah. You know.
Although you can buy stuff can't you?
People come back in and out? Is that what you're saying?
They still can do that, but I think what people were doing, which is going out, buying loads of alcohol and trying to get back in again, which was causing issues.
Yeah.
But as I say, at the end of the day, you know, the council and licensing and the police have said, you need to change your policy, so we have to comply to be able to hold the event. But our wristbands still give you 50p off all the bar prices within Pride, so you know, get a wristband and you're going to be saving money on those drinks. And
does that apply for food as well this year?
It does, yeah. Fair. So either money off, or they're going to give you freebies, extra upgrades and stuff like that. So you know, as well as free bus travel on the day, it really is worth it. If you have one return journey on the bus there and back, but you can use it all day, and buy a drink, you've made your money back while supporting Pride to happen.
How much are the wristbands?
£5 for the day, or £15 for the evening, which includes entry to 4 after parties.
I'll ask you very, very quickly about that in a minute. But the other thing I noticed was there's a lot of stuff about accessibility at this year's Pride as well. So I always thought it was quite accessible anyway.
Yeah, we always have really tried hard to be an accessible event, but we can always do more. It does cost more, so we've been having to gradually build that up. But very luckily, you know, we've had some funding from the council, their cultural investment program, and also UE have come on board as an accessibility partner to help cover some of our costs as well. So you'll notice all our stages are going to be BSL interpreted this year.
Oh, that's amazing.
So that's really, really incredible, and I'm really proud that we've been able to make that happen. There will be two giant screens again to inset the signers on there, so people can, the interpreters, so people can see them, but also if you're in a wheelchair a bit further back from the stage, you can see them. And also it'll be broadcasting main stage into Millennium Square after 6 p.m. as well. So, you know, if it's a bit too busy and you don't fancy, you know, a crowd, you can watch the main stage from there as well. So there's little things like that. And then we've got a Mobaloo, which is a mobile accessible toilet with changing table and hoists and stuff like that. And that's something that we put into the festival as well this year. So, you know, we're really trying.
We always forget, you can also listen on a portable radio to us broadcasting it live I never really thought about it like that, but you could also do that even in the park. So.
And we'll be having interviews with some of the performers as well on the live radio, won't we? So that's an added thing for listeners.
We're already quite a bit over, but very quickly, very quickly, because we have to our after party.
Yes.
Kind of like the big finish from the bit where you kind of like kilo
for
the
day after. I can actually have a gin and tonic and enjoy myself.
This is where
6 o'clock.
Yeah. So that's going going to be, so the official after party is at the O2 Academy again, and we've, you know, pulled out all the stops that we can. So we've got Sink the Pink, Savage Disco coming down to headline the main room. We've Don't Tell Your Mother. We've got Street Envy Dance, LED Hoop, Aerial Hoop performances all taking place in the main room. So that's incredible. Kiki are going to be curating our upstairs room. So it's really great to get them involved and to do an event, you know, an after party that, you know, hopefully people will feel that they can come to and enjoy. So we've got loads of great DJs like Booty Bass, Devalicious, Afiloa, but we've got Toya DeLazy and Tanya Lacey performing live. Might remember Tanya Lacey from The Voice from Bristol about 2 years ago.
She's
going to be performing there. And then Don't Tell Your Mother will also be curating another room downstairs with Sister Please. So loads and loads of stuff going on at the after party.
It's huge.
After
party,
it is massive. Yeah, so it's great.
It's all that for a 15 quid wristband, which gets you into the day as well.
Yeah, and as I say, free other after parties. So you get in Queen Shilling for free, you get into Hush at Basement 45, and this year we've got a new after party at the Old Market Assembly with Punker doing kind of an indie Riot Girl after party as well. So it really, £15 is an absolute bargain for four after parties and, you know, a day event.
And you're supporting, and you know, supporting Bristol Pride.
So, cool. Yeah, but it's going to be incredible. Yeah.
Listen, I'm really sorry, because again, we're trying to make you cram 72 pages into about 15 minutes of radio, which is not an easy feat to do. But if you haven't got them, the brochures are out, and if you've done the usual electronic one as well,
it's on the website. So just go to bristolpride.co.uk. at the bottom of the website you can click a link to open up a electronic version. We've also put it on our Facebook page, we've been sharing it on Twitter as well, but it's all out there.
Cool. And we'll make sure, as we always do, we'll link to it from our podcast as well, so if you're listening to podcast, you can go grab it from there. Listen, mate, it's lovely to catch up with you, because I know this is the busiest time of the year for you. We're a couple of weeks away, so it's really nice for you to come in. Thank you so much, and we will catch up with you on the day, I hope.
Yeah,
come join us live on air.
Yeah, I will be there.
Cool.
Thank you.
Now, one of your headlines is our next artist, so have a listen to this.
The Shout-Out Podcast.
Like she needs any kind of an announcement. That's Alexandra Burke, and that's a Hallelujah, which is the song she won the X Factor with, didn't she?
Oh, I cried. She was stunning. Absolutely stunning.
Absolutely stunning. So she's on about 3:30, I think, on the main stage at Pride this year.
And she should have won Strictly. She should have won Strictly.
Like, was she in that? I don't watch Strictly.
Oh, I do. She should have won that.
Anyway, let's get some news headlines, seeing as we're a little bit behind. We go straight into it, shall we?
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 28th of June.
One of the Shoutout family of radio stations is Bass Radio, now marking 11 years since it first began streaming from studios in South Bristol. It's unique, being a community access radio station for the southern districts of Bristol, and boasts the top-rated DJ Daddy dance show on Friday nights, a winner of several Shoutout listener awards. Well, DJ Daddy joins forces with drag queen Miss Beaver on Saturday, the 30th of June, in a fundraiser for Bristol Pride, which will be held at the Bristol Bear Bar. Doors are open from 7 p.m, so have your purses at the ready to donate to one of the country's best-loved gay pride events.
The leader of the black supremacist organisation Nation of Islam, namely Louis Farrakhan, has had his Twitter account unverified, a procedure which denies him the luxury of what Twitter bosses have said is commonly considered to confer legitimacy on a person's account. Farrakhan has been making anti-Semitic and homophobic comments for decades, according to the Jewish American paper Forward. Most recently, he has claimed the same-sex marriage was satanic.
A few weeks ago, we reported that many LGBT activists had supported the ethical retail chain Lush in their campaign to expose police infiltration of many activist groups. Now, Special Branch took an interest in infiltrating gay, lesbian and transgender groups back during the 70s and 80s, although as the gay movement has become more mainstream, this is commonly believed to have lessened. Well, according to an article from the Anarchist Federation of the UK, which has also backed Lush, not everything is perfect with the company. Allegedly, the person who coordinates charitable giving within the organisation has compared trans people with paedophiles and accused them of being homophobic. The Anarchist Federation reporter says, "This isn't to say that the company as a whole or the rest of its giving department is transphobic. Clearly not, as they did donate to Action for Trans Health. But it is still concerning that, if our source is to be believed, someone with apparent anti-trans bias can hold such a powerful role." Well, we've linked to this article on our website, so you can make up your own mind.
Jean Pepper and Guyden Bernstein are the parents of Blaise Bernstein, the 20-year-old young man who was murdered in January by white supremacists in an apparently anti-Semitic and homophobic attack. In the Jewish Chronicle newspaper, Mother Jean reveals how the family is refusing to give to the bitterness and contempt. Instead, they have founded the Facebook group Blaze It Forward and have invited people from the Jewish, gay and wider communities to connect with them and perform acts aimed at healing the world from its endemic violence and bigotry.
The disabled and LGBT communities have united to condemn the government's outsourcing of benefits payments assessments to people with long-term health conditions and disabilities after it emerged that a gay man, Mr. Keith Morgan from Kent, was subject to serious and intrusive unprofessional questioning from a Christian extremist doctor working on his case. Mr. Morgan was told that he was like a defective car and that he must report to God's garage to be reprogrammed into an obedient heterosexual. Well, the company that conducted the outsourcing at the time of these remarks in 2012 did agree to pay damages to Mr. Morgan, and the doctor in question has been monitored by the General Medical Council for any further signs of unprofessional conduct. Mr. Morgan, meanwhile, continues to campaign against the general principle of government assessment for benefits after continued attempts to cut his allowances. Disability rights organisations report that people with disabilities and long-term health conditions continue to bear the brunt of austerity.
The Pride issue of Gay Times magazine is out now at alternative bookstores, larger branches of WH Smith and all good local newsagents. The magazine, in its new revamped format, looks back to its past as the grande dame of LGBT publications in the UK. After all, it can be traced its roots back to June 1972 and the first British Pride March. So for those of you interested in the history of Pride and the wider gay communities, then you are in for a visual treat. The magazine has republished in its pages some past Pride programme adverts, some articles from the archive and old covers. The LGBT community activists have welcomed the magazine, making a small piece of queer history available to a younger generation just discovering their history.
For these news stories and more, check out our excellent website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been James Wilkinson
and Terry Starr.
Shoutout News, national and international LGBT news for you. Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
But you see, these are going to be my headliners.
Yeah.
So I do love all the other acts, but I was such a fan of Snap. With this song, Rhythm is a Dancer, it was like 1992, I think.
It's such a classic, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it doesn't get old.
I didn't realise this was the Snap. This is like my favourite song ever in the 90s.
Yeah. Rhythm is a dancer.
No, it is Snap. I also did another one called The Power, if you remember.
The Power of Love?
No, not Love, just The Power.
No, okay. Just Power. Got the power! Got the power!
Yeah.
Do, 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 do,
yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
And that was all the words it had, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's right. Brilliant.
Got the power!
Yeah, it'd be really cool if
I'm
we can meet
them. I'm looking
forward
to Snap as well.
Yeah,
yes,
I am.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I hope we can get to interview them. That would be really good fun.
Well, fingers crossed. We're certainly doing our best. I mean, the Pride people are always really, really nice and try and make sure that we can. Some
helpful.
Can't because they come and they do their acts and they disappear again. And we get the odd one
like
that's
busted.
A little bit. Well, they were just a little bit.
Oh. That was a face.
That was some years ago, wasn't it, Busted?
That was last year.
Was it last year?
It was
last
only last year, Terry.
The year before was Lisa.
Lisa Stansfield.
Oh.
Who we couldn't into. Well, we had to do it off air, if you recall, and broadcast it later.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to broadcast it.
And it took a fair bit of
editing.
Did it?
Yes. Shall we say? Yes.
She had a few special brews, I think.
Right. She has a fantastic Bristol voice, brews. Though, doesn't she? But she had a really nice sort of soul voice.
Yes.
Being around the world and I. See, you might as well have me there.
I think the phrase might be more appropriate, but anyway.
If you recall,
she wasn't the best, if you recall.
She had a good backing track.
I mean, when you compare her to some of the others that we've had,
in the background.
Do you remember Sophie Ellis-Bextor? She was phenomenal.
Wasn't she lovely?
And she Heather Peace as well. Heather we actually Peace. Interviewed Heather Peace.
She was lovely. Yes.
She was really, really nice. Blue, they were lovely. We interviewed them.
Sonia was lovely.
Sonia.
I've got a lovely photo of me with the blue voice.
We interviewed Bucks Fizz, didn't we?
Yes, who are very talented. One of them's got cancer, did you see?
Yes, it was in the Daily Mirror the other day. Jay Aston. Yeah, she's been suffering from mouth cancer. Yeah.
She's worried she may never sing again.
Yeah.
Which is a real, real shame.
But they're going
supposed to be at Western.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that because I'll be helping out at Western Pride.
Don't know if it's happening or not. So.
We're
doing Bristol Pride, then we're broadcasting 2 weeks later live from Western.
Yes, which will be with our sister station, Radio WSM.
Yes.
I'm going out, and Steffi will be doing a lot of comparing, I understand.
Yeah, so. I think a few of us are.
We're down there on Saturday, aren't we?
Now, Darren did ask me to mention one thing before as he was leaving. On Monday at City Hall, the Pride Hub is popping up. Open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. so you can go to City Hall and get your wristbands and stuff.
All right.
So.
And then the following week on the Monday at City Hall, we've got the LGBT Youth Conference Awareness and Education.
Oh, brilliant.
Which I'm doing.
That's
with
not part of Pride, is it?
Pardon?
It's not part of Pride, is it?
It coincides with Pride. And obviously it ties in really nicely.
That's fantastic.
And it's really important, but the young people have developed and designed this conference.
And is that nationwide? Is that lots of people, organisations from around the country taking part?
No, it's mainly just me and a group of young people from
fantastic.
Bristol.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Who go to Bristol schools.
That's really
important.
Make
a change.
Right. Now, this is a slightly shortened version of our news extra because when Darren's in, we can't not talk to him. I'm really sorry, mate.
No, it's
lovely to get all the rundown. So, but this is a bit where we usually pick a story or two.
Yes.
And talk about it in a bit more detail.
Absolutely. And so, talk a bit more detail.
And I'm really
about
looking forward to talking about one of them to do with discrimination.
Yes, absolutely. So let's start with that. It may take up all of our time as well.
Yeah.
Because in breaking news in the last 48 hours, a landmark ruling in the Supreme Court has found that heterosexual couples, opposite sex couples that is, can qualify for a civil partnership. And the Supreme Court has sent it back now to Parliament for them to change the law to allow opposite sex couples.
Because it was one of them really odd situations where we actually had more rights.
It was a bit of
which
a
I don't think
fudge.
Ever happened.
And what happened was the Labour government under Tony Blair were not confident enough, even though they had a large majority, they were not confident enough that Middle England would accept same-sex marriage per se. So they introduced this kind of halfway house called civil partnerships. Now a lot of
countries had done it as well.
And
a
lot of countries have had civil pacts or partnerships. It's called the pacts in France, for example. But it's open to people of heterosexual or same sex couples as well. You see, and
so
it's
the
very
difference
popular.
Here was it wasn't.
Yeah, it's very popular. For example, with a lot of feminists who, you know, have an issue with the more patriarchal traditions of conventional heterosexual marriage, you see. So it was very, very popular for those reasons. But in Britain, this civil partnerships was only open to same-sex couples. So then when the coalition government under David Cameron introduced same-sex marriage, we ended up with a choice of whether we wanted to have a civil partnership or a marriage. And heterosexual couples, of course, couldn't do this. They had to have a marriage if they wanted to have the legal recognition.
And what's the technical difference between the two, is there?
There was something in the small print about dissolution and divorce that you couldn't cite adultery, if I'm right, when the civil partnerships came in as a grounds for annulment.
Okay.
But other than that, they granted more or less
the same. If I'm right, though, with marriage, it's only if I cheat on my husband with a woman at the moment.
I don't know about that, actually. That was a very, that would be a very interesting.
We have to look up.
We will. We will.
So
but
what
anyway,
this bisexual people.
Well, I'm sure it's one of the flaws left over. Don't quote me on that. But we'll have to check that out, Terry, find it, and that's true.
So Peter Tatchell, who has always campaigned for equality between LGBT and straight people, has welcomed the ruling. He said, "This is a victory for love and equality. It was never right to deny opposite sex couples the option of having a civil partnership. In a democracy, we are all supposed to be equal before the law. So I think it's wonderful news that the Supreme Court has ruled against the government and in favour of equal civil partnerships."
Yes.
I don't know if you remember, in the early days of Shout Out, we interviewed a Quaker heterosexual couple.
We did,
who were campaigning for having a civil partnership for precisely those reasons that many people have, that, you know, it's a bit patriarchal.
Yeah, because they don't believe in the Mr. and Miss and the front of names and all that.
It is interesting because you can trace marriage back way before things like Christianity and the like. The whole ceremony predates a lot of religious things.
Hand tying, isn't it?
And it was all about
hand fasting.
Yeah.
Pagans used to hand fast for a year and a day, and then they'd repeat the process and the ritual over that and make that commitment for a year and a day every year. So
it's funny, it's just our current interpretation of it, isn't it? So I know when me and Carl got married, it was very much about the symbol of the ring, was the way that they said it, and about it being your eternal love, and that was very much the message that they gave at our wedding, because of course it's not allowed to be religious at a same-sex wedding, and we wouldn't want it anyway.
The church can still discriminate, can't they?
That's right, they've got that opt-out. Yeah. Although there are, of course, it's important to note, there are religious denominations that are very much pressing to have the right to marry same-sex couples, like Reformed Judaism, for example, in their synagogues, the Quakers, Unitarian Universalists, and so on and so forth. As well as pagans, as Mitch mentioned.
Yes.
They've always been very supportive.
We had to have the registrar and everybody leave where we did our little hand fasting at our wedding as well.
Oh, so, did you?
Yeah.
It has to just be the two of you, does it?
Well, the officials have to leave, so they had to leave the room while we did something spiritual.
Oh, right. I see.
Yes.
Sorry, I thought you meant your guests left the room.
No, the guests were still there. It was just the official people had to leave. Because they couldn't be present when there was something spiritual. No.
And you're not allowed to play a song that could be interpreted as religious too, which is really funny. Like you can play Hallelujah, for example.
No, not Hallelujah.
Even though Hallelujah wasn't actually a religious song, it's just
we played Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Oh, that's beautiful. What music did you have?
We walked down the aisle to Come What May from Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
That was ours. Yes,
that's nice.
And our first dance was actually to a song of a friend of Shoutout's, End of the World by Matt Alba.
Oh yes,
was our first one. Yeah. If you recall, we've had him on the show many years ago. Yeah.
Fabulous.
We had Ain't Nobody, Love Me Better, that one.
Oh yes, yes.
The modern one.
So. Ain't Nobody. Is that Chaka Khan?
Ain't Nobody. Yeah.
Yeah, fabulous. Yeah. We love Chaka Khan.
I guess this puts more pressure on Northern Ireland again to actually get their act together.
It's going to be quite interesting because the number of systems at the moment, the minute you do civil partner, only lets you do the same sexes. They're all going to have to be reprogrammed to cope with opposites. And like, it's going to be
just
like marriage equality all over again, isn't it?
Talking of friends to the programme, a good show on the BBC iPlayer is The Story of PrEP, which was broadcast last night on BBC Two. Great.
I haven't seen it yet. I was busy last night.
Really uplifting story about HIV activists taking on NHS England and winning the High Court. Fantastic.
If you're on Facebook, you might have seen, we actually stuck a message out earlier on in the week. I spoke to Greg last week when I found out that the programme was being made, and he just finished filming it and was actually a bit kind of like blown away and kind of swept up in it all. He said it's all been a bit of a whirlwind, and I don't know if you've noticed, but it is all over the press at the moment, especially the BBC press. We interviewed Greg. We were one of the first media establishments to interview him anywhere in the country, and he's always been really, really sweet and credited us with giving him a huge, great boost in the campaign. The After Dark show, because it was a round table, it was our Shout Out After Dark show, and he's been on the main one as well, but there was a long one on PEP and PrEP where we had a guy from the NHS and we had Greg and we had a guy from THT, and we talked about what back then were these brand new drugs that were pre and post prophylaxis, and about what they did and what they could do, etc. And it was fascinating to talk to him. Little did we know back then that it would lead to this huge, great program and taking on the NHS. And you said it. You said it was quite an interesting revelation into the NHS.
Absolutely, really quite shocking revelations of homophobia in the NHS. Because when the National AIDS Trust and Greg won the first round of the legal case, they put out some really quite homophobic material which no one has owned up to. That's very interesting. The programme asked NHS England for a comment. No one would say, actually, I wrote that. So somebody somewhere in the NHS was writing some quite homophobic stuff which went on their website during their battle with the National AIDS Trust.
As I recall, it was saying things like they didn't want to support promiscuous lifestyle.
Promiscuous lifestyles of gay men, they actually said at one point.
I seem to remember one of the counter arguments was, well, what's the pill for?
That point was made by many of the activists, so it was very, very interesting. And obviously the NHS also sort of played HIV activists off of other investments such as cancer care and things like that, trying to pit different groups of patients against each other. That was very,
well, seems
very
interesting. The Daily Mail took quite a horrible, it'll wipe out all these drugs for this, that and the other if we do this.
But that's what they do, anything. Anything's different. It's always against...
It's the Daily Mail. What can you say?
What can you say?
Well, anyway, but the programme is on BBC iPlayer, so...
It's just gay men that can contract the HIV virus, as we know that's not true.
But yeah, the programme's still up and on our website, so go have a look if you'd like to know more about PEP.
Well
and
done,
PrEP.
Greg,
And have a look at the BBC iPlayer if you would like to watch the programme again, which is what I'm going to do when I get home, actually. So
sounds very interesting.
Anyway, that's it for another show. Don't forget, it's only 2 weeks away, but you can listen live all day this year to Bristol Pride, as you always can.
Tune in to BCFM 93.2 for FM or online at shoutoutradio.lgbt and hear not only their music, but we'll be talking to the artists as well all day.
Next week, Rainbows Over the Pier. That was all I was told, so we'll find out next week. But for myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.